Again, Jeff, delighted to have you with us.
Thank you very much. It was 39 years ago this weekend that Megan and I came to Caldwell, New Jersey, where I was interviewed to be a youth intern. And at that time, Art on the Avenue was this weekend, not at the end of the month, as apparently it's going to be this year. But it was beautiful. The azaleas were out. It must have been a warmer winter. It was nice to see the trees in bloom here. For the scripture that I chose today, that was the scripture that Dr. Andy McElwee preached that weekend in the service here. And he had just come back from a church growth conference in Garden Grove, California, and used these words from 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 9 and 10. And it was quite a moving sermon. I'm not sure I will match that, but we will share God's word together today and hear this scripture again as if for the first time. 1 Peter 2, 9 through 10. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's own people, in order that you may proclaim the mighty acts of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. This is the word of God. Thanks be to God. We have already heard the call of God through the call to worship, through the baptism where the words of Jesus' great commission were shared. Baptize people from every nation and teach them to observe all I've commanded you. And now we have heard it again. You, God's people, have a mission to proclaim his mighty acts, telling your story, the one who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. This is our commission. This is our identity as God's people. And on behalf of the Outreach Foundation that I've been my privilege to serve for 18 years, on behalf of the Presbyterian Church, it was my privilege to serve as a missionary, first in Korea and then in the General Assembly. I want to thank you. Thank you for your faithful support of Presbyterian missions through our denomination and through the Outreach Foundation. I was telling the Mission Committee just before the service that I tallied up the what you have given to the work of the Outreach Foundation just since I've joined, and it's over $120,000. Now, that is a significant investment you've made in the ministry that I've been a part of for the last 18 years, so thank you. Thank you for making a difference. Let me tell you how the gospel is being proclaimed to all nations in just three, I want to tell you three very short stories and then get back to the scripture as a challenge for us to live into. Iran. Our parish associate, Bob Pryor, and Mary Lou were missionaries in Iran back in the 70s, wasn't that right? Back in the 70s. Now, the Iranian government has cracked down on Christians who are from a Muslim background, but they're worshiping in house churches. Our staff person, who is Iranian, who serves the Iranian peoples all around the world, recorded a series of worship programs in L.A. that were sent out on satellite TV into Iran for the house churches to help them to multiply. And he did this last summer, and he found when he went for record a second series of programs this past February that over 60 new house churches had come into existence because of that ministry. Wonderful news in spite of persecution. Going to Iraq, the ISIS, the tragedy of the all the that they have done there has led to so many refugees flooding into the courtyards and the compounds of the churches in that part of northern Iraq. We have one Presbyterian church in Kirkuk, Iraq. My colleague Marilyn Borst was there with a very small team from the Outreach Foundation in March, and she saw how the gifts that God had given through our appeal for Iraq were being used to clothe, feed, and temporarily house refugees from Christian backgrounds, refugees from Yazidi, a non-Christian, a non-Muslim religion, and refugees from even Muslim backgrounds. The church there is having an opportunity to witness in word and in deed in ways they could not have imagined. The gospel is even being proclaimed in the midst of civil war in Syria. While Marilyn was in Iraq, I was in Ethiopia. In western Ethiopia, some 200,000 South Sudanese refugees have fled the civil war there that started in December of 2013. I was involved with Sudanese Americans in the USA in a mission that was going to work on developing part of South Sudan that they had come from. They wanted to give back, but we could not get into South Sudan because of the civil war. So we went to where the people from that region of South Sudan had fled. We went to Ethiopia. And as we visited, we found that unlike in the situation in Iraq, the UN had refugee camps that were providing food and housing and a bare minimum of medical. This is what they said. We left our country, but we have not left our God. We had to leave our Bibles, though. Can you provide us with Bibles and hymn books so we can sing the praises, have worship, and remind ourselves of our identity as God's people? This is what we have chosen to do. We got 600 Bibles and hymnals in as a stopgap, but they need thousands. They want to be able to sing the content of the kind of songs that we sang today, only in their Nuer, N-U-E-R, language. And this is what the Outreach Foundation is doing, to help them continue to proclaim the gospel and claim each successive generation for Jesus Christ. That's what your gifts have done, to help us help others. Many other things I could talk about, but I want to get it back to the mission field we have right here in West Essex, the mission field we have in the Jacksonville Beach area where I live now with my wife, four houses away from our grandchildren. The mission field in Nashville, Tennessee, where we moved, where, to my surprise, 60% of the people are unchurched. This is the Bible Belt of America. Friends, we live in a mission field. And I've read the bulletin. You have wonderful programs, great children's programs. The youth doing some things that I wish that we had done when I was a youth minister, going to the UN. Great stuff going on, good music programs. But you know what? In our American culture, more and more people are checking out of the church experience. It's, why would I even want to go to church? We can invite, well, we've got great music, we've got great children, we've got great preaching. They're just choosing not to go. And it's not Presbyterians only, it's Catholics and Baptists and everybody in between. And so we see ourselves in a new mission field. When I was here 39 years ago, it was also only 35% coming to any church in this area. So it's not necessarily a new thing, but it's accelerated and intensified. And so to my joy, this is not the case always in other parts of the world. And so part of the mission of the Outreach Foundation is to invite friends from churches like First Caldwell, not just to go over and help the church in another part of the world, but to learn from the church in another part of the world. I invite you to join us, to go to Brazil with me the last 2 weeks of August, to see how a church there, in a fairly secular environment, is reaching out and starting new cells of disciples, new communities of faith within existing churches and then starting even new churches. We're going to see how the Brazilians make disciples, carry out that command that we heard about in the baptismal liturgy. My friend, colleague Peter Lim, whom you all continue to support in ministry in China, today he's actually in Hangzhou, China, preaching at a 6,000-member church as it celebrates its 10th anniversary of being built. He's going to be leading another trip to China that several people from this church have been on, but it's been a few years. This will be a good time to see how the Christians there, in a very atheistic culture, reach out to their non-Christian neighbors, most of whom could care less about Christianity, but the church is growing there. You can come and learn. My trip is in the end of August. His trip is in the end of October. Or our colleague Maryland is Borst is taking a group to Egypt, a place that tourists stopped coming to for a while, but now it's safe. And the church there, in spite of the fact that just 2 years ago churches were burned, the church in Egypt is starting new churches, boldly sending out their best and finest graduates to see how they can minister in Christ's name to the communities that are popping up all over Cairo. This is a time for us to learn from the global church what it means to be Christ's people, to own his identity, and in his name serve others. This is our opportunity that we have. We have one more opportunity today, and that is in a few minutes we're coming to the Lord's table. It's been said that the Eucharist, the Lord's Supper, is the place of renewal of the missionary calling of the church. That scripture we read from 1 Peter applies to us all. It's not just for the pastors and the staff. This is our opportunity to come to the Lord, to re-identify ourselves as his people, and to say, Lord, what is it that you would have me to do? How do you want me to be and to make disciples in my part of the world? How do you want me to learn from Christian friends, brothers and sisters, in other parts of the world? This is our opportunity to come to the Lord and to renew our commitment to be his missionary spokespersons. Let us pray. O God, we give you thanks that in every age you call men and women to share your faith, to grow in Christ, to tell the story to our children and our children's children, and to those in our spheres of influence, in our schools, in our workplaces, in our neighborhoods, and yes, around the world. Help us to be faithful. Lord, may we be found faithful, and empower us to do what we cannot do for ourselves, because it is your mission. Thank you for inviting us into it. In Christ's name, amen.